Christmas is a very special time. It's a very merry time for many, but also it can be a very sad time for some. You know, it's this time of year when suicide rates go up. It's this time of year when depression goes up. And so I'm hoping that we as the church are going to be a light and a source of hope to many over this holiday season. And we want to let people see and understand Jesus, our Savior, as Emmanuel. He is the God who is with us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. So think Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels. I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 1 and then Matthew chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. It says, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Everybody say, Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Yeshua or Joshua. It was a very, very common name in that time. Many of you are familiar with Joshua, Moses' successor. Jesus had the exact same name as Joshua, Yeshua. However, in the Greek form, it's Jesus. I want to let everyone know that Jesus was our Savior's human name, okay? So when we refer to Jesus Christ, I just want everybody to know Christ was not his last name. You know what I'm saying? People didn't call him JC. You know, Jesus was his full human name, Joshua. It means that God is salvation. That was his human name. And then Jesus' title was Christ, the Greek form Christos, which means anointed or anointed one. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're referring to Jesus as his very common human name. However, we're giving him the title behind that name that separates it as the name above all names. That Jesus, God is salvation. He is anointed. He is the anointed one. He is the Savior to actually bring God's salvation to all mankind. And so then here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 23, it says, while he thought about these things, this is speaking of Joseph, Mary's husband, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. For that which is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." There he is, his human name. "He will save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name," now look at this, "Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Now here's another name that's given to Jesus. Now this was not a human name that people called him by. It was not a nickname, you know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't, you know, he was Jesus, but then, you know, on the streets it's like, "Yo, E," you know, "Emmanuel." It wasn't that. He has his human name, Jesus. He has his title, which is Christ. But then there's also this descriptive name that God gives Jesus, where he's called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is so, so important that the first descriptive name that God tells us about his son is, look, yes, he is the God of salvation. He is Christ. He's the anointed one. He's not only the Savior, but he's also the Lord. But also the first thing that you need to know about your Lord and your Savior is that he is not going to be afar off, but he is with you always. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always going to be with you. He's going to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is always by your side. He's Emmanuel. I want to talk to you today about knowing Jesus as Emmanuel, the God who is with you. You know, so many of us have fears and we have worries about our life and about the future and so forth. And I want you to remember what the angel said to both Mary and Joseph here, that when it talks about it's going to be Jesus, the Christ, Emmanuel, God with you. The first thing that angel said was, look, do not fear. Do not fear. God is going to be with you and you are going to be able to get through and overcome and face whatever you have to face in this life. So I want to talk to you about this today, and I've entitled this message, Holiday Fears. Holiday Fears. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, thank you that you are a God who is with us. You are here today. I just pray that your word do the work right now. God, give us a hungry heart just for these next 25 minutes. God, let us hear your word. Let your word do the work, Jesus. Thank you, Emmanuel, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You know, doctors and psychologists say, this is fascinating when I found this out. Doctors and psychologists say that basically, we as human beings, we're only born with two natural fears. We only have two natural fears. All of us have them. When we're born with the natural fear of falling. I mean, no, that's a good thing, so you won't grow up and walk off a cliff. A fear of falling, and then a fear of loud noises. So that's also a good thing. So when you get married or somebody's yelling at you, you can tell them to shut up and not feel bad about it, all right? So I'm only kidding about that one. But only two human fears. The fear of falling, the fear of loud noises. Every other fear that we have in our life is learned. Every other fear that we have in our life is learned. We learn fear as we grow up. There's a variety of ways that we learn fears. It has to do with our past experiences. It has to do with how we're made and who we are. And most of us, we live for a while disconnected from God. And so we learned fears and behavior patterns and worries. We saw things happen to other people. We had things happen to ourselves. We watch movies. We listen to what the media is telling us. We listen to what the news is telling us. And all these life choices and experiences are combined, and we learn fears. Many of us, we don't even know them. We have hundreds of fears, and some fears are really, really major, and some fears actually control our lives. You know, as I was on websites, there are whole websites devoted to phobias now. There are hundreds and hundreds of phobias. I mean, some of them are ridiculous. Do you know that some people actually have a phobia? So that's just beyond a fear. That's like, I'm terrified of this. You ready for this one I found? A phobia of belly buttons. Some people actually live their lives terrified of a belly button. I don't know what you do. I guess you avoid the beach. You don't see babies. I don't know what you do to get over that fear, but there's so many fears. And then, you know, I found this list. This was common fears that I think many of us can relate to. Some serious. You know, there's the serious ones, you know, rejection and loneliness and things like that. But some that are just kind of common that many of us have. How about fear of flying? This is one of the top 10 common fears. Anybody fear of flying? Oh, you liars. Who's afraid to fly? Stick those hands up right now. Man, I don't like flying. I just do it because I just have to do it. Fear of public speaking. So now you see why I have so many issues, right? It's just... Fear of heights. I don't like heights either. I'm looking at this. I'm like, man, I got like most of these. There's a fear of heights. I don't. Anybody ever rode on a gondola? You know those gondolas that go over those mountains? Those are terrifying. I'll never forget one time I was at one of these places where it's like overcome your fears. It was like Ron Luce's Teen Mania camp, but it was just a few years ago, man. And they made me jump off this thing, like jump off this tower. They tied a strap to me, you know, and you had to jump. They're like, overcome your fear of heights. And I forget, so I finally got up there. I was sweating, man. I was looking down at this thing. I'm like, all right. And this kid, he's like, I don't know, 16? You know, he's got like, he looks like he's half awake. You know what I'm saying? And I see him, he's like trying to clip on the clip that goes to my deal. He like clips on this clip. He's like, go ahead, Pastor Weems. I'm like, is this it? You with this, listen, man, I got kids, dude. I survived, I made it. But we have so many fears. I'll never forget one time I was on a flight, on an airplane, taking off from New York City, and I'm sitting on this plane, and this woman sits down next to me. And, you know, the plane gets to the runway, it's about to take off, and she begins talking to me. And, you know, at first I just think she's chatty, and well, what's this building over here, and what's this river, you know, just chatty. And she's asking me all these things. I'm like, I don't know what this river, you know, it's the New York River. I don't know any of these buildings. But then I realize she's not just being chatty. She's like wanting me to engage, like she's nervous, like she needs me to talk to her. You know, like she wants to take her mind off of something. So she's talking, blah, blah, blah. I'm doing my best, trying to answer all of her questions. So the plane starts going, and it starts picking up speed to take off. And I see her. She starts looking out the window, and the plane gets going faster and faster. She starts going, come on, come on. She's looking out the window as the plane, come on, come on. You can do it. Get up. And the plane starts to say, she's like, get up, go, go, go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this flight is 2 hours. And then you know when the plane gets up enough where it goes into its bank to turn to wherever it's flying to, as soon as the plane went to bank like this, she goes, ah! No, seriously, blood curl, ah! And I'm sitting next to her, and I mean, she doesn't just kind of put her hand on my knee. This was like a thigh claw, like, whoa, just squeezing the... clawing my thigh, screaming, ah! I'm looking at her hand. I'm like, man, I don't even know you that well. That's what I'm, this is like, this is pretty, what, you know? So she's clawing my thigh, she, ah! And then she starts like, ah, 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 ah. And then she looks at me, she says, ah, 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 ah. I'm sorry to tell you, but I have a fear of flying. And I'm like, really? I would have never known. I'm shocked. So then she's like, I'm just going to take more medication. So she pulls out this bottle of pills. I don't know how many she took, way more than one. Popped them in her mouth, and in 20 minutes, I'm telling you, she was like drool coming out. She was like coma. I mean, you could have like operated her on. She was like out, under. Her friends in the other seat had to come wake her up after the plane landed. I mean, like comatose, out. But isn't it amazing how fear, see, when we have a fear and we begin to act out of fear, that fear can actually begin to control our lives in so many ways. And when we act out of fear, when we're acting out of fear, we're not acting out of faith. You know, we're talking about fear of flying and public speaking and all this, but there's really four common fears that all humans struggle with a little, but some people really have these as a stronghold in their life. And these four common fears are the fear of loss, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, and the fear of the unknown. The fear of loss, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, and the fear of the unknown. Some people, they just have this thing like, man, it is a real fear they deal with every day. It's like the fear of loss. I'm going to lose a loved one. I'm going to lose a child. I'm going to lose my husband. Or I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose every... It's just like this fear of loss. And it grips them. And it can begin to control their lives. You know, my wife, Carrie, her father died of a form of brain cancer when she was 11 years old. And when we first got married and I would go on these trips or do different things, it was like she had this fear like somehow she was going to lose me, somehow she was going to die. Now, where did she learn that fear? From the experience that she had with her own father. And she had to overcome that or that would become a stronghold in her life. Some people, they have the fear of rejection. You know, that their spouse is going to reject them or, you know, they're trying to fit in with a group of people. There's a fear of rejection. Listen, if you allow the fear of rejection to control your life, it will permeate all of your relationships. And you act out of fear, you can't act out of faith. Many people, they think, you know, with the fear of loss or whatever, you think that you're being a careful parent, but you're actually parenting out of fear. You can't parent out of fear. You have to parent out of faith. You can't, you know, many singles, they have the fear, I'm never going to get married, or you're single again. You're like, man, I'm never going to remarry. And there's that fear of rejection. And you'll make some big mistakes if you allow that fear to control your life. There's a fear of failure. Maybe it's, you know, your career or whatever it is. There's a fear of failure there. And then many people, and what you would call people that really struggle with worry, it's a lot about this last one. It's the fear of the unknown. What's going to, you know, the fear of the unknown, the future, your security, what's going to happen with the economy, what's going to happen with this, what's going to happen with my family, what's going to happen with my health. You get a health report, you start having some health issues. You fear the unknown. Let me tell you what God thinks about this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right, forgive. Here's what I want to say about every fear. Fear is not from God. All fear is not from God, period. He has not given us a spirit of fear. He is spirit, as we're adopted as his sons and daughters. You know what they tell us? You are not to fear. What did the angel tell Joseph and Mary? Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Why? Because Jesus is here. He's your Savior. He's the Christ. He's your Lord. But you know what? He's also Emmanuel. He is the God who is with you. And if God is with you, he's for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? You're not called to fear. He's given you a spirit of power. No matter what you face, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. You can overcome any trial, any crisis, anything that you might face. Listen, you have power because Christ is with you. You don't need to fear loss. You don't need to fear rejection. Listen, you need to know that Jesus is with you. He created you. He made you just the way you are. He has someone picked out for you. He has the right group of people that he wants you to connect with. If he wanted you to different, he would have made you different. I don't care what the media says. The media is always pumping us with the message. If you don't look like this, you're not accepted. If you don't have that, you're not accepted. If you're not in with this crowd, you're not accepted. Let me tell you something. God accepts you. He created you just the way you are. And there's a group of people who don't like you for who you are. Well, you just tell them, You can't live your life on the approval of others. It can become a fear, become a worry. He's given you a spirit of power. He's given you a spirit of love. You don't need to worry about failing. You know why? Because love never fails. Look in the Bible. There's all types of stories of people that we would say, oh, they failed, but they didn't really fail. It was just a mistake. It was just God allowing them to go through something so he could get them from to where he wanted them to be. Listen, failure is never final. God has given you a spirit of love. Love never fails. In fact, God has not only given you love, but he is love. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. When you begin to know the God, Emmanuel, that he is with you and his perfect love, that will cast out every fear in your life because God is with you. Fear is not from God. So if you're experiencing fear right now in any, if you're worrying about anything, that's not from God. It's not from God. If you're experiencing fear and fear's dysfunctional cousin, worry, that's not from God. You know, biblical definition of fear, some people say that fear is the opposite of faith. I believe that there's some truth to that. Some people say fear is faith in the wrong things. I believe there's some truth to that. You're putting, you know, you put more faith in what if this bad things happen than faith in what God's word says. Remember, you're going to have faith. It's all where you put it. Are you going to put faith in your fears or are you going to put faith in the word of God? He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. We know this about fear. Fear is an emotion we experience when our mind is not set, as what Philippians says, when our mind is not set on things above. When we are not spiritually minded, God's word tells us that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. God's word tells us when we get spiritually minded and we pray that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When our mind is not set on God, we're going to fall into fear and worry. But the main thing I want to say about fear today is we need to remember that fear abides in the make-believe land of the what ifs. What if? Here's what happened. We're unsure about the future. We're unsure about the unknown. Can I say this? You might be unsure about the unknown, but you know who's not unsure about the unknown? That is God. God knows everything that is going to happen in your life. He knows the end from the beginning. He's got this whole thing figured out. Hey, newsflash, God is not worried. God's not looking out saying, oh my gosh, what's going to happen here? I didn't plan for this. No, he knows the end of the beginning. Your life is written out in a book. If you will just learn to trust God, you don't need to fear the unknown, because with God, it is all known by him. He is with you. He's going to take care of you, and he's going to see you through it. Nothing is ever taking God by surprise. God has never had a new thought. God has never worried one millisecond in his entire eternal existence. He is in control. He has it figured out. We just need to remember that this is not our true home. Our true home is with him in heaven, and no matter what we go through in this world, we know that God is with us and he's going to see us through that. But so many of us, we just lived in the land of the what ifs. What if so-and-so leaves me? What if this health report turns out to be something terrible? And it's amazing what we do. You know what I'm saying? Like, your rear end hurts. You're like, I got butt cancer. Even start kind of limping. How long I have to live, doc? You have a headache, it's dementia. It's amazing how our mind goes to the very worst. We live in the land of the what ifs. Well, what if's going to happen if I lose this job? What if my kid goes to, starts doing that? What if this happens with so-and-so? What if they find out about this? What if? And we just think, what if? And we live our whole life in the make-believe lands of fear and worry, the make-believe lands of the what ifs. What if we turn that around? See, here's a what if. What if we turn that around and let's start living in the what ifs of God's reality of what his promises say? What if we started looking in God's word and says, man, what if God turns this whole thing around? What if God does a miracle? Man, I lost this job, but what if God gives me an even better job and multiplies my finances? Man, what if God does this? What if God heals this? Can I tell you, the Bible is not only full of what ifs, it's full of the promises of God that are yes and amen if we will just learn to trust him. How many times in the Old Testament does, God shows up, an angel shows up, he's talking to Moses, he's talking to Joshua, he's talking to David, he's talking to whoever. He's like, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Many of us in the church, we know Jesus as Jesus, our Savior, God who saves. We know Jesus as the Christ, our Lord, the anointed one with all power. But we don't know Jesus as Emmanuel, the God who is with us no matter what, who will never leave us nor forsake us. If he is with us, Romans says, therefore he is for us, and he is for us no matter what comes against us. He will get us through that. We need to know Jesus as the God who's with us. Can you give him a hand for that? When we fear... I love this. When we fear, think about this. When you're actually fearing something, you're telling God, hey, God, I don't think you can handle this, so I need to worry about it. God, I don't think you can handle this, so I'm going to need to worry about this. And now I know that your word says, here's a what if. I know the word says that if I would cast my cares upon you, because you care for me. Now, Lord, I know that your word says that you're going to work all things to the good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. God, I know that you're the God of the impossible. Lord, I know that you're faithful and you've never let me down. Lord, I know that you're the God who heals me. However, I just don't think you can handle this. So I'm going to need to keep this one to go through my worry. How many of you are ready to give your worries and cares to God and let him handle that for you? Here's why that's so important. Here's where I want to go with this today. This is why understanding your fears are so important, because our fears tell us two very important things about who we are. First of all, our fears tell us what we value the most. Our fears tell us what we value the most. That's a good thing. We fear for our health, our families, our kids, our wives. Our fears tell us what we value the most. But our fears also tell us where we trust God the least. So our fears tell us what we value the most, But our fears also tell us where we're trusting God the least. And right now, you might be thinking of some issues. Maybe it's an issue of loss, rejection, unknown, failure, whatever it is, that fear, that you're not trusting God in that area. So just think about that. Where are you? Fears tell us what we value the most, where we're trusting God the least. Where are you not trusting God? Or I'm not trusting God in, you fill in the blank. So here's the decision that we have to make. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Look what David says. I love this. Here's the antidote to fear. Psalm 56, verse 3, David says, whenever I am afraid, everybody say whenever. 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 Whenever I am afraid. Whenever I'm in the land of what ifs. Some of you, you're already in the land of what ifs before I ever preach this message. Well, what is going to happen today? What if I do that? What if I drive my car out of here and get in a wreck? What if so-and-so doesn't like me? What if Iran sends a bomb over here? What if I have a bad hair day? You're just all over the place. You're from nuclear bombs to bad hair day. They're all in the same compartment with you. Look what David says. He says, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Listen, I don't have a bunch of self-help books for you. I don't have a bunch of prescriptions for you. Many of you, you already have those. Let me tell you what I do have. I have the Word of God for you that comes straight from Emmanuel, the God who is with us. And here's what he says. It says, whenever I'm afraid, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to bring that fear to you. I'm going to bring that worry to you. I'm going to know that you're not only my Lord and my Savior, but you are with me. God, this area of the unknown that is so disturbing me, Lord, I thank you that you know. And I'm going to trust in you and your word. You've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Listen, if you've got to walk through some fire, God promises you, you will not be burnt. If you got to go through a river, he promises you, you will not drown. Look what David says. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, look, I will praise his word. Go to the what ifs in the Bible. In God, I have put my trust. I love this. I will not fear. Look what David says. What can flesh do to me? In other words, he's saying, you know what? What's really the worst that can happen here? How many of you know Beth Moore? Famous Bible teacher, great, great Bible teacher. Beth, I've never heard her personally tell this. I've heard other people tell this story, but she has a testimony about how she used to have this fear of loss. She was afraid she was going to lose her husband. Somehow her husband was going to die. It's just like, it was just this fear that had gotten a hold of her. And one day she was praying about it. She was like, just confessing this to God. I just feel like I'm going to use my husband. She felt like God, I'm going to lose my husband. And God, she felt God like speaking to her and say, okay, so what's going to happen if that happens? And she said, well, if I lost my husband, I mean, that would be terrible. I mean, I would just be crushed. I would be in despair and I would just go into all kind of grief and sorrow. And then God says, and then what? She said, well, I would pull away from ministry from a while and I wouldn't want to talk to anybody, except maybe just a few close family and friends and just grief. And God spoke to her and said, and then what? And she said, well, I guess after that, you know, God, I know that you're a God that heals and I would probably begin to put the pieces of my life back together in some way. And God says, and then what? She said, well, I'd probably, you know, through your comfort, you know, eventually come to the point and have peace with it, that I know that he's with you in heaven and that you're going to take care of me and everything's going to be all right. And I would go on to finish what you called me to do. And God spoke to her and said, you're exactly right. And I think sometimes, and this is what David's here, I think sometimes with our fears, we need to follow that path of thinking, and then what? And then what? And then what? And know that God will be with us every step of the way. And that if we trust in him, he will bring us through whatever we have to go through in this very short life that the Bible says is but a vapor. Our hope is not in this world. Our trust is not in this world. Our happiness is not in all of our circumstances going right in this world. Our happiness is not in all of our problems being solved just the way that we want them in this world. That will never happen. Our happiness and our joy is in Jesus Christ. He is a God who is with us right now. And we can trust him right now, and we can have a peace that's not of this world. We can have a joy that is not of this world. And when we choose to trust God instead of our fears, God's supernatural power comes into our life and begin to liberate us, where we can have a confession just like David and say, you know what? Whenever I'm afraid, I just give that thing to God. I just trust in God. God, I know that you're in control. I give this to you. What's the worst that can happen? God, thank you that you're with me and you're on my side. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, you're Emmanuel. Amen. Choose to trust God. Choose to trust God that he's with you. And that's the decision that we all have to make today. And if you don't make that decision, you're going to battle with fear and worry for the rest of your life. I'm not saying that this is easy, but I am saying that this is God's way and that God is able to free you from fear if you will choose to trust him and put your faith in him and not in the wrong things. And it's all about, just like last weekend or just like last month with the blessed life, this once again, it's about deciding the type of person you're going to be. It's like with the blessed life. Are you going to be a God-first person, a generous person? And here it comes again with fear. What kind of, are you going to be a worry person, a fearful person? Or are you going to be a person that trusts in God and get your peace and your joy from the true source, the only one who can give you the kind of peace and joy that we need in this troubled world? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray right now, just want everyone just kind of meditate for a couple of moments. How many of you would say this? You'd say, Stovall, I've been battling with some fear and some worry. There's some areas I'm not trusting God in, and I want to make that decision. I want to choose to trust God today. I want to, just like God's word says, whenever I'm afraid, Lord, I will trust in you. If that's you today, will you just slip up a hand? You've been battling some fears, some worries. Wow, it's just almost all of us. Just so many hands going up. You can put them down. How many of you would say this? You'd say, Stovall, I'm away from God. And you not only need to know Jesus as Emmanuel, the God who is with you, but you need to know Jesus as your Savior. You need to know Jesus as the Christ, your Lord. You've been away from God. Listen, before you can know God as the God who is with you to the fullest extent, you need to know God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior and your Lord. If you're away from God, you need a fresh start with God today. You need eternal life. You need forgiveness. You need to make Jesus your Lord. If that's you, I want you to slip a hand up right now, wherever you are. Come on, raise it high. Hands are going up all over the place. So I need to make Jesus my Lord. Raise them high. All of our campuses, annexes, raise those hands. I need to make Jesus my Lord. God, you see those hands. You can put them down. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. I'm going to start off. I want to pray for all those who just raised their hand to make Jesus their Lord. Such an exciting moment. Such an awesome moment. So if you raised your hand, I want you to repeat this prayer. In church, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer as well. And then I'm just going to kind of lead that prayer into a general prayer where we're going to trust God with our fears and get free from fear. Come on, how many of you are ready to get freed up from fear and worry today? It's going to happen. It's going to happen today. Let's pray. Repeat this prayer out loud with me. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for forgiveness and everlasting life. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. And Jesus, you are Emmanuel. You are the God who is with me. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. But Lord, I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you in all these areas. And I just want you right now, just in your heart, just give God those areas. Give God those unknowns, those worries, those fears. We give them to you right now, Lord. Lord, we choose to trust you. We will not fear. God, whenever we're afraid, we're going to go to you in prayer. We're going to give it to you. We're going to trust you. We thank you for freedom from fear because you're Emmanuel, the God who is with us. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.